All right. Well, thank you very much for having me speak tonight. It's good to be back visiting, and it's odd to be back visiting and going back somewhere else, but thanks for giving me some time tonight, and let's just open with a word of prayer, and I'll get right to it. Father God, I thank you for the body of Christ. God, I thank you for giving us the unity that comes from your Holy Spirit indwelling all of us. Father, thank you for this local body here at Shannon Hills, Lord, for the blessing they are, for the asset to your kingdom they are. Lord, I pray that my words tonight would be honoring, uplifting to your name, encouraging to the saints here, and pray that it'd be a blessing to the hearers. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of the gospel. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, so this is where I have been all this time. If anyone noticed, I left Alaska. So that picture was taken about 3 weeks ago, up a few miles from where I was staying over the summer. It did not look like that all summer, contrary to what some people think about Alaska. It's not snow-covered mountains all the time. It is mountains all the time, but not snow-covered mountains. So I went up there, as many of you know, last summer. I was up there and doing a lot of aviation maintenance and spending time getting my head around and hands around some of the things that go on in the world of aviation, particularly as it relates to missions and specifically missions in Alaska. So I'm working right now towards what I believe God has called me to do as a missionary to the villages in Alaska. So last summer, I did a lot of maintenance. This summer, I focused a lot more on flying. So, but before we get into all that, the first thing I did when I headed up there in May was actually I got the privilege to join the SEND International and SEND North organizations for what they call Northern Ministry Training. This was in Soldotna, Alaska, which is southeast Alaska, not regionally what they would call southeast Alaska along the east coast of the mainland, but in that general area. But Northern Ministry Training is put on by SEND North, which is a sending organization for missionaries to Russia, Canada, and Alaska villages. And it's a conference that's designed to connect people and designed to give people who are headed to those areas, it's designed to give them a better feel and some information about what it's like to live in these villages, what it's like to serve there, what it's like to live there. There's very unique environments to the north that you don't see in other regions of the world. So a lot of the speakers there were elders from the villages, and when I say elders, not Christian elders, but the way that these villages are governed is by a tribal type of government, so they do have elders that are in leadership in the villages. So some of those were there, which was extremely insightful to get to learn from them and hear a firsthand account of what it's like to grow up there, to grow up in that culture. There were we had a speaker that was a native believer that had come to Christ through the efforts of some missionaries that we knew, so some of the sessions there, they had sessions on culture and history, not only of Alaska and the North itself, but also a history of the missionary efforts that have gone there, And as it turns out, there's a lot of damage that's been done in the years by some well-meaning, some not well-meaning folks that have been to many of these villages that has left a pretty bad taste in the mouths of the natives. So it was very eye-opening and a really good experience to be able to hear about that background, be able to gain some insight, connect with other missionaries that had been out there serving for long periods of time. Some were retired, some were going back there after the conference. I'm looking forward to going back to this training. They actually have several tracks. So I was on the first year track this May, and I'll be looking forward to go to a second and third year track in the future to just learn more deeper. Because if you started out and tried to cram everything that they have accumulated over years of experience into a week-long conference, you just wouldn't be able to remember anything. So that was the first thing I did when I got up there. And as I was continuing to work with Kingdom Air Corps, the training organization for pilots and mechanics headed to the villages, we took the month of July, pretty much the whole month, to do Brooks Range Bible Camp, which is a Bible camp in the northernmost range of Alaska, the Brooks Range. It's several hundred miles from any established real town with stores and that sort of thing. It's up in this mountain range, and we usually fly airplanes up there to a centralized location, fly out to the villages, pick up kids and bring them in, and then we have 2 weeks of camp. We've got a week, I think it's from like 8 to 13-year-olds, and then we have a second week, which is for teens up to 19. So this year, the Lord really gave us just a test with patience and with understanding his faithfulness, because due to wildfires up there, there was a lot of smoke, and it came up to a few days before we were supposed to head up there, and the smoke had been coming down and coming down. Very limited visibility is not very good for flying, and so a couple of the pilots went ahead and took a couple airplanes up there and started getting things set up. And then when it came to the day the rest of us were supposed to leave, it had closed in so much we weren't going to be able to go. So there's actually a road, very bumpy and dirt and gravel road, that goes all the way from Fairbanks in Alaska, which is kind of central in the state. It goes all the way up above the Brooks Range with the north slope, the oil slopes up there. And they call it the Hall Road. Well, there's a village that's pretty close to where we do the camp that's still on that road system called Coldfoot. So we figured if we could get to Coldfoot by vehicle, we might be able to fly in to the camp location. So that is what we ended up doing. There was a family from the church there that, from the church near Kingdom Air Corps in Chickaloon, they loaned us a 15-passenger van. We crammed all the staffers in there, drove 13 hours on this bumpy road up to Coldfoot, and from there we were able, the smoke was clear enough for us to fly in. And so that was a major blessing, and then later on in the week, I think three more airplanes were able to come up. So we had a lot less airplanes that we usually have, than we usually have, but we were still able to bring in quite a few kids, and I think everyone who wanted to come to camp and that we had planned to pick up was able to come. It just took a lot longer to make the trips to and from the villages. We picked up kids from four different villages: Bettles, Allakaket, Anaktuvik Pass, and Arctic Village. A lot of the kids we had have been coming to camp for years and years. As you guys know, just like Mountaintop, there's a community and there's a strong bond between a lot of those campers and between the staffers that they want to come back. They want to come back and see and hear and visit friends from the other villages, because many of them don't see each other unless they end up in Fairbanks at the same time, or they end up in a larger town together at the same time. So it's always a joy and a privilege to get to be up there with them to speak the gospel into their lives. As I've said before, most of these villages do not have a well-established presence of Christ, not a full-time worker, not a church. Sometimes they'll have a church building that's just vacant. But there's very little influence. So the believers that are there can just suffer from so much discouragement, so much lack of fellowship, lack of investment in their lives by other Christians. So it's a huge opportunity and a huge joy for them to get to come. And this year, it's pretty cool. We're all helping people get out of the airplanes and stuff. And as you can see, the bottom middle picture there, somebody steps out in an Emmaus t-shirt. I'm thinking, okay, we're, you know, about 5,000 miles away from Dubuque, Iowa up here. So it turns out that she was from one of the villages. That's Kristen. And she has been going to Emmaus. And actually, you know, the first thing I asked her, you know, was like, who do we know that's the same? So she knew Anna Shelley. And so that was a pretty cool connection to make. And so it's just neat how the Lord works. And she had been saved there in the villages, went on to go to Emmaus, and then had come back. And during the summer, she was serving as a staffer at this camp. And it was just a really neat way to see the connections. You know, it's a small world when the Lord makes those connections and puts those people in your life. So it was really neat to see that. See her giving back into those places that she'd come from. When I returned from camp, got to finish up my private pilot license with my good friend Noah. He's my instructor there for the majority of my training. Finished it up with another instructor up there, and we had this fellow Joe come up. He's a flight examiner, and he came up and actually volunteered his time to do flight examinations for several of us students up there, which is a tremendous blessing because they are not cheap at all. So that was a really good thing. And that's Derek and Anton, a couple other guys that got, I think one of them got their instrument rating, one of them got their commercial rating, or maybe both of them got instrument. But so they're just progressing towards what they want to do in going to be village missionaries themselves. Actually, the fellow on the right here, he is currently serving in one of the villages that we pick up kids from for the camp, Anaktuvuk Pass. He and his wife are serving there. He's just kind of doing a discipling role. They volunteer as substitute teachers in the schools. Schools up there are always looking for subs, so they're able to serve in that way and get involved with the kids and adults that way as well. So I'll talk a little bit more about this later, but the private pilot certificate, some of you know, is the kind of the base level pilot certificate. From there, you'll go on to get an instrument rating. Instrument rating lets you fly in the clouds. Commercial rating commercial certificate is the next certificate, and it allows you to be paid for your services. And most missionary organizations that you'd serve with as a pilot want you to have your instrument and commercial because of the extended amount of experience you have. So even though you're not necessarily working for pay, they do want you to have those ratings just because of the experience it means and the training that it represents. So this is a pretty big Milestone, the private pilot. I was blessed to have just Kingdom Air Corps' support, and Kingdom Air Corps' just the group up there is such a blessing in so much more than just a training capacity. It's a group of brothers and sisters that are dedicated. You know, the fact that they're there, you know, and the way that they pour into you in spiritual ways is such a benefit. It's so much more than, you know, separating, okay, I'm going to do my ministry training, and then I'm going to do my pilot training over here, and there's a distinction. It just helps with that mindset that it's all coming together, different pieces of the puzzle, you know, using a physical tool to bring a spiritual blessing, and it just helps to connect that and keep you focused on why you're doing what you're doing while up there. So I was very, very, very focused on getting this certificate done all summer. You know, I was up there. I was living at what we call the ranch, the property up there that Kingdom Air Corps has for training. And I was up there. I had my duffel bag, and that was pretty much it. And coming towards the end of the training season, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a place to live after the program ended, and I didn't have a way, I didn't have a job, so I was really just spending money all summer and not making any, and so I was kind of thinking, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I kept feeling like, and trusting the Lord that, you know, I need to focus on this, and He'll provide the next thing when it comes time, and this is a good time to say thank you in such a big way to all of you who have supported this organization and have supported me in this endeavor to earn my private pilot certificate. It's helped in a tremendous way to have your prayers and your financial support, and I just thank you so much for that. So my prayer as I came up to the end and to where I was getting really close to earning my certificate, my prayer was, okay, I need, from my perspective, I think I need a roof, I need some wheels, and I need a job. And the job that I was looking for was one that would allow me to continue moving towards the ANP certificate. It stands for Airframe and Power Plant, and that allows you to work on airplanes, the mechanical side. So doing the flying side, trying to do the mechanical side as well. Many of you know I've been working in aircraft mechanics in pursuit of that certificate for a while. So I was looking for a way to continue doing that. So I got my certificate, and I wish I could go into the specifics, because it was so cool to see the Lord work it out. But I got my certificate the following week and a half, and a fellow called me up and donated that Jetta TDI, so I had some wheels, and then I got a call about a really good deal to rent this tiny house up there. It's a little, you know, 15 by 10 house. I've got a little bed, a little, you know, place I can cook and wash my dishes, and a shower and toilet combination thing. It's kind of, you know, like living in a trailer, but it's really a great bachelor pad. So I couldn't have asked for a better spot than that with super cheap rent. And then the following week, I interviewed with three different places up there, and apparently they really need people, because for the first time in my life, I was actually job shopping. I actually had to turn down a couple of offers, and I think that's just a thing the Lord does to show you, not only am I going to provide you a job, but, you know, I'm watching out for you, and I'm going to give you more than even one opportunity. So I've ended up at this place to work, Silver Sky, and it's been It's been an awesome place to work for the last about month and a half, and they're helping me towards my goals there. They're extremely flexible with schedule, which is why I'm down here. And they, 7 out of the 8 guys who work in the shop are believers. So that's really an encouraging thing as well. It gives opportunities to love the body of Christ and serve them through that. So that's what I'm doing right now in Alaska, is the airframe and power plant certificate apprenticeship. So I'm working towards a certain amount of experience, basically 30 months of experience working on aircraft. And then there's paperwork you have to do, a series of tests. So right now I'm in the midst of that, working on all different types of airplanes. As you can see, we've got flying boat there. We've got little bitty 2- and 4-seaters, and we've got some twin-engine airplanes and various things like that. So good range of experience for missions, applications. Something we try to do in the fall is visit the villages where we've picked up kids from, and just to encourage those kids and adults and meet with them and just to show them, we remember you, we know who you are, and we haven't forgotten you. And so again, this year we put together a trip. There were several obstacles, weather and things that they were, it was a wrestling match back and forth and back and forth. Are we going to go? Are we not going to go? And finally the weather cleared. Things were looking up. There'd been lots of praying involved, and we said, okay, we're checking the weather. If the weather clears in the morning, off we go. If not, you know, this was the final time we were going to be able to try it. So sure enough, beautiful morning. So we said, all right, let's go. So that's the crew that went up in that top left picture. We had 2 airplanes. About halfway to our first fuel stop, one of the airplanes started having some issues running, and we weren't sure what the result was going to be. We tried a few different things, got to our fuel stop, fueled up, did some tests, did some checking, couldn't find any problem, and had a pretty good idea of what had been going on. Thought, have a little carburetor ice. So we loaded back up with the understanding, you know, if we get in the air and there's anything by this point, if anything doesn't seem right, we're turning around and coming back. Well, we got about a mile away from the airport and started acting up. So came back, and we're in this little village of Nenana. It's basically the last fuel stop that's on a road system, and after that, you've got nothing but tundra, mountains, rivers, lakes, swamps. So we decided to rally there and talked it over, prayed to see what the Lord might have for us instead of going to the village, because we talked it out, you know, should we send one airplane, should we not? So ended up deciding we need to stay here and check it out and wait and see what the Lord may have for us here in this village. So it actually turned out just like we heard this morning, sometimes what people mean for evil, or maybe what Satan means for evil, the Lord intends for good. So it actually turned out to be a networking opportunity. We'd made a contact there previously, so called him up. He said, oh, come over to my hangar. You can work on the airplane there, see what's going on. And then the Christian radio station in town said, hey, you can come sleep on the floor at the radio station till you get things figured out. Let's work with you. So it was really cool that it ended up being an opportunity for networking and to have those contacts there, that who knows what the Lord will do with that in the future. Got things cleared up and came back safely from that. So that was a huge blessing. Some of you guys have been following the land situation, Kingdom Air Corps. Last year, September of 2018, our director, Dwayne King, was gone to Russia while his son, who owns a business and who owns the property there that we do our training on, was doing a flight to bring an airplane for delivery, or a helicopter for delivery, to Alaska, and ended up they were involved in a crash, and his son ended up passing away. So our director flew back, and there was a lot of unrest and a lot of situations that are above my head, but the land was being foreclosed on, and there was a lot of question in whether Kingdom Air Corps was going to be able to purchase the land, or what was going to happen to the training, what was going to happen to, if we lost the land, where were we going to train out of, what would happen to the airplanes. Lots of questions, but I'm very excited and pleased to tell you that as of just a couple months ago, the land has been purchased by Kingdom Air Corps. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you, everyone who's been praying for that. It looks like we will be able to continue training and continue operating out of King Ranch. That's just a little update there. Looking ahead, I'd like to continue this apprenticeship until I'm able to complete my mechanic certificate. So then I'll have the private pilot rating and mechanical certificate. From there, I guess I should go by my notes on here. From there, I'd like to do at least a year of Bible school, do my commercial and instrument pilot training, and then after those things, which are mandatory, are kind of done and under my belt, it'll be time, and even during that time, to research internships and organizations that could potentially be who I would go to the village with. So these organizations, they're parachurch organizations that come alongside as the church sends out a missionary. They come alongside and help with the networking, help with acquiring resources, help with placement in a village, and those sort of things. So I'm looking to figure out what organization I might go with. Right now, living up there and working, one of the biggest challenges for me is just the isolation, as far as not having a lot of free time on my hands to just spend time with other believers and invest in much other than working on airplanes and reading about airplanes and watching videos about airplanes and how I'm going to further my myself and train myself and that sort of thing. So I'm really praying about just how to have freedom to have more involvement in a local church there. And when I say there, I'm living in Palmer, Alaska, which is down in sort of close to Anchorage, close to the more metropolis areas in Alaska. I've been visiting a church up there that I believe I'm going to stay with and be fellowshipping with. But I'm just asking for prayer that I'd be able to just make some good contacts there and find someone who would be kind of a local mentor right there. And as many of you know, I still make phone calls back to people from this very assembly just to, you know, get their support, get their ideas, get their encouragement, and give them updates of what's going on. And so it would be a tremendous blessing to have someone right there that I could really, really get to know and really learn from locally. So I would appreciate prayer about that. My lease on that little house ends in April, so I'll be looking for another place to live. So please be in prayer about that. And I'll be excited to see what the Lord does this time around. Also, the vehicle that I have is to be donated to Kingdom Air Corps come May. So those are two things that are temporary. So I've got to set things up in that respect. And then patience is another big one, because I like to move kind of person. And right now the training and the working is just, you know, I'm here and I'm going to be doing what I'm doing for quite a while. And it can be sort of frustrating sometimes to just feel like, okay, I know in the long range plan, in the grand scheme of things, I am moving forward, but I sure feel like I'm just doing the same thing every single day, and not really getting closer to my goal. So I'd appreciate prayers for patience. And that kind of leads into just this idea that I've been trying to learn and trying to meditate on, of faithfulness. Because right now I have a long-term plan and I have a idea that's out there that I've got little goals and stepping stones towards. But it's the big one, the big thing I'm really looking at. You know, I feel like often I get stuck in a thought process of, well, my real ministry will begin when all these things are done, when all these things are behind me, and I can really get, I'll be living in a village, I'll be actually serving, I'll actually be doing something. You know, talking with Carl this morning, you know, we want to do things. I want to be doing that, I want to be doing this. And so I've been learning slowly just to meditate on faithfulness, God's faithfulness, but then how I can be faithful. And this is something that I want to exhort each one of you tonight to be thinking about, and what I'm kind of getting at is the idea of each of us needs to be faithful exactly where we are at the current time, and not get stuck on an idea that's in the future so much that we neglect what God has for us to do in the current moment. If you would like to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Actually, different version here. Do this. And this is in the idea thinking about what we do here on earth. You know, God has a plan. God has a huge plan, infinite, from before the beginning of time to after the end of time, eternity to eternity. And while we're here in this window that he's given us to live and to serve, we need to be fully invested. And that looks different for different people, but it all stems from a heart of faithfulness. Ecclesiastes 11, starting in verse 1, kind of encapsulates this idea for me of not being so calculating and so analytical that we don't do the things that we know God has for us in the moment. So I'm just going to read the first few verses. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. And this passage I've been reading a few times lately, and it was convicting to me that I have not been looking for the opportunities around me for faithfulness. I mean, I'm trying to be faithful in study and faithful in, you know, reading God's word and things like that. But the idea of faithfulness in a few key areas, and I'll talk about those a little more in a minute. But as we look at this passage and a couple others, which I'm not going to have time to go to tonight in the interest of time, but this passage talks a lot about how we don't really know what is going on tomorrow. Christ talks about that to his disciples. You know, he says, don't say, I'm going to go here, do this and that and the other and make a profit. Say it with an attitude of, if the Lord wills, this is what I'm going to do. But we don't have any idea. We can't turn a hair black or white. There's that reason why we should be faithful, because if we sit and wait and calculate and try to decide what's the best thing for me to do and just be paralyzed, that's not the Lord's will for us. For that reason. A second reason why we should be faithful is because we should be like Christ. Hebrews talks about how he was found faithful as a son in his household. We should be like Christ, and one of Christ's attributes is faithfulness. We know that God is faithful. We should be like God. So I actually have one more there, that we should be faithful because we're to be regarded, like Paul says, as servants and stewards of Christ. It says a steward must be found faithful. We're servants. We're stewards of the manifold grace of God, we learn in other places. So we need to be dedicated to what God has given us to do for him. So there's tons of areas where there's a need for faithfulness. There's a need for faithfulness in every one of God's commands to us. But a couple or three that I'd like to just leave you with tonight are we should be faithful in loving the family of God and the lost. In 1 John, he says, and this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He says another place, God loved us and we ought to love the brothers. So we need to be faithful in loving the family of God. We need to be faithful in loving the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. We want his heart. We need to be faithful in that. And the last thing, we need to be, or the second thing, we need to be studying his word and his works. 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved to God. We need to be dedicated to an ever-deepening experience, an ever-deepening wisdom and knowledge of God's word. So we need to study that, but we also need to study his works. Psalm 111 says, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who take pleasure in them. If we're taking pleasure in the works of God, we're going to study them. We're going to study his word. We're going to study his works. And the last thing we need to be faithful in is in worshiping the Lord. And just give you one verse on that. Rather two. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. So let's just remember those things. And I'm trying to remember those things, that there is plenty to be faithful in. There's plenty of opportunity to see around us, to be faithful and to serve the Lord. And you got to remember, we don't have an excuse. We'll never have an excuse, you know, oh Lord, I thought that later I was going to become more dedicated to studying, to worshiping, to loving others, to doing and being what you want me to do and to be. That won't be an excuse that flies. So let's just remember that, and that's something I am learning, and I pray that it's encouraging to you, and I covet your prayers as I learn that. But I hope this has been just informative and enjoyable to give you a little snapshot of what I've been doing, what the Lord's been doing in me, how the Lord is working. Again, thank you for having me. Thank you so much for just your dedication and for your prayers and for your friendship. Truly, you guys are a family here in North Carolina. When my family's out of the state in school and I'm here living by myself or wherever and whatever, you guys, so many of you are just speaking to my life and are there as friends. I know I can walk back in and it's like I never left. So thank you very much for that. Thanks for the time this evening. And I would like it if Joe could come up and Miss Linda and lead us in a verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for our brother Ezra, and thank you for the things that you have taught him and the ways that you are using him now, as well as the ways that you'll continue to use him in the future. We just pray for And we pray for him as he returns back to Alaska. We pray that you will continue to show him how you want to use him even now, and that you'll just continue to provide for him in the way that we know that you will. Thank you for being faithful to him, and just give him patience and just all these things. Help him as he seeks to be involved in the local church and all these things. I just pray that you will help us to remember him and to pray for him, and that the things that he said tonight will encourage us and will challenge us to see your faithfulness and to have our eyes open to how you want to use us. So we just pray your blessing on him and all of us as we seek to bring you glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.